See this also in Isaiah chapter 3, 21 through 31. Okay, and here we can see about corruption in the church. And afterwards at his approach, his disciples will abandon the teaching of the 12 apostles. And we can see this again afterwards at his approach, because of the rapture soon to take place and the returning of the Lord following the conclusion of the Great Tribulation. And afterwards at his approach, his disciples will abandon the teaching of the 12 apostles. Of course, that has to do with that foundation. Their faith, their love, and their purity. See, and there will be much contention at his coming and at his approach. All right. And in those days, there are many who love office, okay, although lacking wisdom. You can see this when you go on Twitter and Facebook. And there will be many wicked elders and shepherds who wrong their sheep. And they will be rapacious because they do not have holy shepherds. They want to grab a word from the Lord to affirm their aspiration. And many will exchange the glory, which is anointing. Many will exchange the glory of the robes of the saints for the robes of those who love money. And there will be much respect of persons in those days and lovers of the glory of this world. They love the glitter. And we'll be talking more about that. And there will be many slanderers and much vainglory at the approach of the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will withdraw from many. In those days there will not be many prophets, nor those who speak reliable words, except one here and there in different places. And we can see that also unfolding and being fulfilled today. This is why, because of the spirit of error and his false doctrines, and a fornication and a vainglory and a love of money, which there will be among those who are said to be servants of that one and among those who receive that one. And among the shepherds and elders there be great hatred towards one another. And there be great jealousy in the last days, and everyone will speak whatever pleases him in his own eyes. And they will make ineffective the prophecy of the prophets who were before me, that's Isaiah talking, and my visions also they make ineffective, in order that they may speak what burst out of their heart. Now this is out of the martyrdom and apocalypse of Isaiah. If you want to read further there, that's in chapter 3, 21 to 31, the 10 verses right there. Let's read something out of the Gospel of John, and let's get started. And this is out of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 3. And Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's kind of interesting, because to be born again, then you see the kingdom. If you don't see the kingdom, it's because you're not born again. So the word born again goes further than illumination. The word born again has to go through the process of regeneration, renewing the mind. It's those that have regeneration and renewing of the mind, okay, those are the ones that the anointing rests upon, that they see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is made up of servants. The servants have to do with the gifts, the callings, the graces of God. Okay, the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, okay, and all those, okay, that are functioning within their priesthood, that's the kingdom of God that you're observing. So those that are truly born again, which means that God is being formed within them, they're the ones that can see the face of God in the knowledge. Okay, and that's out of John chapter 3, verse 3. In verse 7, it says, "Marvel not, I said unto you, you must be born again." In other words, the Lord himself is putting emphasis upon this procedure and process, okay, of the work of regeneration. Okay, that unless the conscience is purified by faith, in which, of course, the Lord Jesus gave to us, they will not observe nor see, okay, nor be obedient to the Lord. They won't see the kingdom of God. Okay, and we'll get started here in the book of Ephesians. Okay, and that's Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to pick up where we left off regarding the armor of God. We know that the armor of God has to do with the vestments of the priesthood. Without the vestments of the priesthood, you have no protection, okay, against the works of iniquity, okay, against false knowledge or the evil knowledge of this world. There's no protection against it. So we're going to read on here why the Apostle Paul is emphasizing these things. Okay, how does this relate to the communion of Jesus Christ? Okay, when he took communion, okay, which we call the Last Supper, okay, with his apostles, when he said, "Drink ye all of it." And the bread, which he passed around, which has to do with this truth, you all partake of this one truth of this one covenant. We can see how the testament of Jesus Christ is carried forth and manifested, and we can see this clearly in the epistles. Okay, after the day of Pentecost, okay, the church went through cycles of maturity. Okay, beginning from the upper room on the day of Pentecost, okay, to that which is preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, to the revelation Chief Elder John received, okay, in order to convey the direction of the Spirit. Say, through the apostolic government, the church now has direction of what direction the Spirit is going. We can see this in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, okay, unto the angel of the church of Smyrna, or Thyatira, or Pergamos. The direction for the church was given by the angel to the stewardship in order to convey and to communicate that knowledge to the brethren, to the churches, and the angel of the church, okay, which has to do with the assembly. So we can see that the Apostle Paul is addressing the saints at Ephesus, okay, which was the first one which was addressed there in Revelation chapter 2, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, right. We can see also the transformation that was taking place, the circumcision, the doctrine, and the deeds of Nicolaitans, okay, which were taking root there through the ministers of Satan. Satan's ministers of unrighteousness were sowing the doctrine of Nicolaitans among the righteous, okay, of the assemblies there at Ephesus. And the apostles going there, okay, had to clean up the work. Okay, we can see the same thing in Thyatira, okay, where Jezebel, which was an elder there, took the knowledge of God in the direction, okay, of destruction, okay, the false prophetic, okay, which was being conveyed at that time. And the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things. Okay, the Son of God was saying, okay, and as he was communicating, okay, he was addressing, okay, the discrepancies. Okay, these are the righteous judgments of the Lord, how God was bringing this correction to the churches. So without the apostolic oversight, how would the churches be corrected? They couldn't correct themselves. We can see that the apostles already established, okay, the foundation within the hearts of the people, without constant oversight, they, through the government of God, the kingdom of God begins to falter and collapse. So put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, what form does the wiles of the devil come in? And this is, of course, the church is absent of this knowledge. Okay, as concerning, okay, exactly how is this manifested that we can stand against it? And we're going to be talking more about this here just in a moment, and this is in Revelation chapter 18. Okay, so stand fast, therefore, for having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, and above all, verse 16, taking the shield of faith. Through the priesthood, okay, we can see that there's reciprocation, okay, reciprocation of faith. We see that with Abraham, okay, and that's why we're called the children of Abraham. The anointing which attended upon Abraham's faith, okay, saved him and delivered him, okay, and brought him gifts. And that's the same thing it does with us. It saves us, it preserves us, and it brings us gifts. Okay, that anointing is a gift giver. Okay, it gives these tokens upon the times of his visitation. Okay, these are the tokens which are richly provided for us, for our functionality. Okay, the kingdom of God is built with these stones. Okay, on that one foundation stone, Jesus Christ our Lord. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you should be able to quench, that's to put out those fiery darts, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The wicked, which has to do with the ambition and aspiration of the world. Okay, wickedness has to do with that expression of the aspiration. Okay, those that live for those things, and we'll be reading this in a moment. Okay, so we can turn from Ephesians here, Ephesians chapter 6, but put your marker in Ephesians chapter 6 and jump over to Revelation chapter 18. Okay, we'll talk about the fiery darts of the wicked. Okay, how the aspiration, the imagination, the principle, how it labors with something. It labors with something. And when it labors with these things, which we'll be reading about, it's going to be manifesting what the Apostle Paul brings out there, and also in the book of Galatians. And we've been jumping over there for a moment too. Okay, what power, okay, induces, okay, these other powers, invites these other powers to be present in order to achieve the goals of these aspirations. So let's turn over there to the book of Revelation, chapter 18. Okay, in verse 12, it talks about the fruits of these things. Okay, I just want to point out to you, see, that the city of Babylon, the mother of harlots has no foundation. She has no foundation, okay, of bonding and building, but she rides upon the beast. The beast is her foundation, which is movable, okay, as that's the sand, the beast. The beast that rises up out of the waters, okay, is that beast of the sand. Okay, and it's movable. Okay, so she talks about here, or the Spirit of the Lord brings out, the merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, and wood. Okay, now let's jump over here. The fruits. And the fruits that your soul lusted after. Okay, see the word fruits there in verse 14. I like the word fruits there in verse 14. And the fruits, that which these things work with. Okay, these are powers. Okay, these are the powers of the dimension of the flesh. Okay, which spirits enter into, okay, in order to shackle, okay, in order to shackle the soul to the aspiration. You see how these things shackle the soul to the aspiration, the imagination, and the principle. Okay, and then we're reading about that right here. Okay, these are the fruits. The fruits that your soul lusted after are departed from you. Okay, everything that it labors with within its dimension, okay, does not produce the eternal substance in the heart, are departed from you. So it says it departed from you. Okay, death stole your labor. Okay, everything that you were tethered to, that you join yourself to, okay, in order to try to discover or define yourself with. The world wants to define itself by these things: gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, fine wood, vessels of ivory, most precious, the precious wood. Okay, if we were to break that down, okay, we talk about these are the glitter people. Okay, the glitter people follow after these things. Now, if you follow after these things, this is what's going to happen. The fruits that your soul lusted after departed from you, and all things which were dainty and goodly. He calls them dainty and goodly. Okay, that which the world values the most, they call dainty and goodly. It added social etiquette and glitter to your status. And goodly are departed from you, and you shall find them no more at all. Because the false tokens do not produce soul substance. Okay, the false tokens don't produce soul substance. Now we can see in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of reflection. Okay, faith works with revelation of grace. Okay, the revelation of grace, and by reflecting upon that which the Spirit gives, that which the anointing hands to you. Okay, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to you now and is handing to you this form of knowledge so that upon reflection, it produces a substance in your heart in order for you to achieve the goal of eternal life. Okay, He's working life in you for that purpose of achieving this goal. Okay, but here we can see the opposite. These fruits, the fruits that your soul lusted after departed from you. Okay, you are laboring with spirits that steal. Okay, and of course we see this is exactly what Jesus said to the devil. The thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Okay, and we talk about the theft of false knowledge. Okay, the fruits and the powers of that kingdom bring the soul to ruin. Okay, it labors with a defiled and evil conscience. Okay, it labors with those things. It keeps the soul in darkness. Okay, so the merchants of these things. Okay, the merchants, the billionaires, the CEOs and the tycoons, J.P. Morgans and Rothschilds, okay, as an example, which were made rich by her. See the word rich, it goes back up to verse 12, the merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, the glitter people, okay, which has to do with coins, investments of jewelry, gems and emeralds. The merchants of these things, which were made rich by her. Now, when you see the word by her, okay, we're talking about an invisible system. An invisible system, the spirit of Antichrist. Okay, it's invisible, okay, but yet it's manifested within the behavior and the philosophy of the world. It's manifested in that behavior, okay, which has to do with self-preservation, okay, and is built right into the culture, tradition, and race of Adamites. Okay, they use these things to build a resume, okay, of self-importance. And every culture does it. A resume of self-importance. Okay, they're trying to establish themselves, okay, being superior to either to another race, another culture, another tradition. You can see this in the Middle East. Okay, you can see it within the philosophies, okay, of this world. Okay, between the European Union as an example, okay, which works with the commerce and trade, okay, to that which is also in the military, okay, is concerning the Cold War, the arms race, okay, the arms race of the Cold War. Okay, what produced these things? The fear of loss. The fear of loss. Satan works, okay, with a perception. Okay, Satan works with a perception of fear and loss. Because of the ignorance, okay, that's within the sinner. Okay, they give themselves over to this driving force of the God code. The driving force of the God code forces them, okay, to lust after these things, to covet after these things. The spirit of this world, okay, is built upon that premises of covetousness and lasciviousness, okay, and all these forms of other expressions of lusts, okay, which the spirit of this world enters into. Okay, the spirit of the world enters into these things, the glitter people. The glitter people. Remember, we see the contrast between the grace people, the consenters, and the glitter people, the protesters. Okay, so the fruits that your soul lusted after departed from you, and all things that were dainty and goodly are departed from you. You shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things, which are made rich by her, shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment. Okay, that is the Babylon, that which Babylon promised, the Antichrist. The Antichrist utilized, see, the economics, okay, of the system. Now, this is going to manifest after the asteroid hits and after the trumpets, the trumpet judgments, when the dragon is cast out of heaven, okay, and the Antichrist becomes the Antichrist man, because where the person, okay, wherein the God has elected to be the Antichrist man, okay, is now becomes a walk-in. He becomes a walk-in. He's assassinated, okay, and everybody mourns as concerning the death, but then suddenly comes alive again. Okay, he becomes a walk-in. Okay, that's when he becomes the beast, okay, the Antichrist man. Okay, it's a person, okay, that the soul has departed from, but another soul, another power enters into this person. Okay, that's why he's cast alive in the lake of fire, okay, with a second beast, okay, and which is the false prophet, and the dragon, Satan, is cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Okay, but the first beast and the second beast are cast alive into the lake of fire. Okay, which shows that it was not the soul of a man inside of that body. It was a soul of a fallen watcher, okay, or a demon, okay, that entered into him. Okay, whereas he became activated, okay, to fulfill those things which God has, okay, appointed for this beast to fulfill, because God has put it in their hearts to fulfill His will. Okay, and no man can resist His will. Nebuchadnezzar recognized that. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar, after 7 years of being absent, okay, from his sound mind, remember the soul of an animal went inside of him. Okay, when the soul of an animal entered into Nebuchadnezzar's body, he played out the spirit that was inside of him, okay, for 7 years. And then at the end of 7 years, he was restored back, okay, to his first design. Okay, and upon that awakening, he came like out of a trance. He was like in a trance. His own soul itself was like locked in a closet, okay, while his intruder was living out, okay, through him. And then when the intruder was then removed, okay, he was let out of the closet, and suddenly he began to realize that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever He will. Okay, He's able to abase the proud. And okay, He's able to abase the proud. Okay, and also to humble, and to humble those of boasting. Okay, and then, well, let's go back here, where so all the whole world is under the trance of the false stewardship. And he's saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed with fine linen. You notice the feminine gender is assigned to the mother of harlots, Okay, as the feminine gender is also assigned to Holy City, New Jerusalem. Okay, so we see a contrast there. Okay, the contrast of that which is, okay, accursed of God to that which is also blessed of the Lord. Okay, that which blessed of God or has to do with the grace people, the consenters. Okay, but the glitter people, they followed up after that, okay, which would affirm the aspiration, the imagination, the principle. And you can see it right here as we're reading. Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Okay, but then we see in verse 20, rejoice over her, you heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Okay, when he says God has avenged you on her, which has to do with the removing, the circumcision of that influence. We take vengeance against all unrighteousness when our righteousness is fulfilled. Okay, when you function within your priesthood, you're taking vengeance, okay, against all unrighteousness. Okay, because you have fulfilled the righteousness of the Lord, okay, in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So rejoice over her, you heaven, okay, and you holy apostles and prophets. So he's identifying the foundation layers. Okay, the apostles lay the foundation, the prophets confirm it. We see this played out here in Revelation, okay, as we see it played out now in the second eighth week. Okay, the function of the holy apostles and prophets. Okay, we're building the kingdom of God. Okay, God has avenged you on her. Okay, so the false religious system, okay, their mobility identifies, okay, what they're building with. Okay, and that has to do with their building on the sand, the shifting sand. Okay, whereas we're building upon that one foundation stone, Jesus Christ. Okay, now let's go from here. Let's go to the book of Galatians and let's read how, okay, what spirits work with these things. Okay, and that's in Galatians chapter 5. Okay, so let's jump over to Galatians chapter 5 here. Okay, and we're going to read more about what is it that the perishable fruits use, okay, for their fiery darts. Okay, and it, of course, we're talking about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Against being able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Now you can see and understand more fully what you're coming against. Okay, so let's start here. Now I'm in Galatians chapter 5. Okay, and around verse 16. This is what the Apostle Paul says. Walk in the Spirit. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now we just read that. Okay, and in Revelation there, chapter 18. Okay, and he says here, the lust of the flesh, what is the flesh lusting after? Well, we just saw, okay, those things, okay, which the glitter people are pursuing to identify themselves with for the purpose of marking their progression. They use the tokens of this world to mark the progression of the flesh. Okay, we use the tokens of God to mark our progression of our faith, the tokens of God. Well, what are the tokens of God by which we can mark our progression with? Well, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, that which our Father provided, okay, is the very tether, okay, of our sources, okay, which are spiritual things. So the spiritual things work with spiritual things. The carnal things work with carnal things. So thus I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which we just read about. Okay, the anointing of the priesthood, okay, will labor with what? Okay, it labors with charity. Okay, and we can see that, okay, in verse 22. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Because love, your charity, which is the expression of this knowledge, we prophesy in Christ through our charity, okay, is a distributing power of all these other virtues which are born within you. Okay, so there's no distraction, okay, of trying to obtain patience or meekness or temperance in your life. There's no distractions in trying to emphasize, okay, these particular powers, because these powers are birthed through your charity. It's automatic. So when you're talking about charity, you're talking about, okay, all the other manifestations, okay, of this work of regeneration. So by the work of regeneration, your perception changes. It matures. That's the mind of Christ. Say, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are the contrary one to another. We just read that in Revelation. everything that the world was pursuing, okay, and those things which they sought were good and had value to their life, are departed from her. But while they're weeping and wailing, we're rejoicing. Okay, we're up there in the seventh heaven. We hear the judgment which God gives forth there from his throne, and we are witnesses of this judgment. Okay, everything that the world pursued after, okay, has now been removed. Okay, now what's going to happen? Well, they still have 3.5 years, okay, within the process of the 7-year tribulation, which means the beast, okay, the Antichrist man now, okay, gains absolute control over the whole world, okay, as the fallen watchers are assigned their particular regions, and the 13 princes, okay, of Satan are rewarded by the devil, okay, to function within those regions. Okay, the promises that Satan made are going to be fulfilled for his demons, his chief demons, okay, which are made up of a cherubim, a seraphim, and ophanim. He has ophanim and also seraphim that are working with him. These are very powerful beings. Those things which he promised, okay, if they would cooperate with him, are now seen to be fulfilled just for 3.5 years. Okay, and of course, they're rejoicing in that lie, which will be taken from them when they're within the regions of their authority. And also the Edomites that become in servitude to them. And Edomites will be servitude or servants to these fallen angels, just like they were in the days of Noah. Okay, in the days of Noah, the fallen watchers ruled over Edomites, and they exacted out of Edomites slavery, by which Edomites, put in that slavery, would build great things, okay, in honor of the fallen watchers, in honor of these spirits that were ruling over them. And the sons of the watchers, okay, which became giants, okay, also assisted and ruled as princes, okay, and princesses, okay, over okay, the Edomites. They would be they were the principalities, okay, of the flesh. Okay, and he says, and these are the contrary one to another. They cancel each other out, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Okay, one cancels out the other. Okay, the flesh cancels out the spirit cancels out the flesh. The kingdom that you utilize and resource is the power which you overcome the contrary with. So we resource the things, okay, that you can say we're drinking of the succulent fountain of the throne of God, okay, which will cancel out the driving factor for earthly things, the aspiration, okay, to dominate, to control, to destroy. Okay, if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, if you're not led of the anointing, then you are under the law. All right, those that are absent of the anointing, okay, are under the curse of the law, and they'll be judged by the law as evildoers. Okay, but we which are under the anointing are free from the law and are judged by the law of grace and mercy. We're called vessels of mercy because we're working with the tokens of mercy. Okay, but those which are of the world and that which is the flesh works with the tokens of the curse because they are under that curse. They're under condemnation. And this is what Jesus said. This is a condemnation that light has come in the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He says, this is the condemnation. Okay, this is the judgment of the flesh. Okay, those which work with the law are accursed of God. Those which work with the anointing are the blessed of the Lord, as Abraham worked with the anointing. Okay, those which work with the anointing are of another kingdom. Okay, we work with another kingdom, under another kingdom, with a different language. We have the language of faith, okay, which the world doesn't understand, okay, because the world measures everything according to their logic. Okay, and in fact, they define the things of God's kingdom according to their logic. And everything that they define according to a logic, okay, stems to that which is self-referencing. And that's what the false religious system does. Okay, the spirit of this world is self-referencing. Okay, whereas those which are on the anointing, okay, are not self-referencing, okay, but are humbled to the spirit. We're humbled to Christ. We humble ourselves. And this is what Chief Elder Peter was bringing out. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, as also Chief Elder James brings out. Okay, the humbling of self has to do with removing the aspiration. The aspiration stands in pride. Okay, but those which work with grace bow the knee. Okay, we bow the knee. We can see the difference between in two instances. Okay, at first, with Joseph, when he was 17, okay, his brethren stood to the principle. Okay, but when Joseph was in Egypt and was in Pharaoh's position, okay, his brethren bowed the knee. That means they bent the principle. They bent the principle and they had to bow the knee of the aspiration. Okay, and there they knew it was not a voice of a spirit speaking through Joseph, that it was indeed their brother Joseph. And Joseph said, he says, upon this realization, he says, now you don't have to fear me. Okay, before that realization, they were struck with fear, okay, before Joseph. But they didn't know it was his brother Joseph yet, see? They were struck with fear, okay, because fear works with the flesh. But humbleness works with the spirit. Okay, when we work with the spirit, then we stand strong in Christ. Okay, but if we work with the flesh, then we stand against the things of God. Okay, so if you belittle the spirit, which means walking down the prophetic path, as long as you're functioning with the priesthood, you're walking in the prophetic path, okay, of righteousness. But if you're walking according to the flesh, then it's the prophetic path of destruction, called the wide gate and the broad way. Okay, there's two ways. Okay, there's two ways. One is the wide gate, and one is the narrow gate. Okay, or the straight and narrow. If you belittle the spirit, which means that now with a pure conscience, your conscience has been purified by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, how can you tell you have a pure conscience? Because you're not reflecting upon your past. You're reflecting upon Christ now. Okay, now is the day of salvation. When? When your reflection is with the Spirit now. Now is the time. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Okay, because your reflection is upon this knowledge. Okay, your priesthood is now standing before his altar. Okay, you're offering back to God the knowledge which you have received by the Spirit. Okay, by the anointing, spirit and the spirit. Okay, spirit and the spirit. Okay, the world speaks flesh to the flesh. Okay, they confirm one another by the flesh. Okay, but the righteous confirm one another by the spirit. Okay, that's where true fellowship lies. But if you belittle the spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, which are driving the moral code, okay, which brings famine to the soul, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Okay, now you see that these powers work with earthly tokens, the gold, the silver, the precious stones. Okay, remember we were talking about that in Revelation. These spirits work with those things. Okay, which also works with what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envies and murders and drunkenness and revelings. And as such like which I tell you before and have told you also in time past, that they which do such things, if you're going to work with the earthly things, then these spirits will work will enter into your perception. Okay, and we can see that if these spirits work or labor within that perception, you're going to lose out. Okay, and as we see in Revelation there. Okay, those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not reap the life. Okay, reap the life of Christ, but rather the desolation of the lake of fire. Okay. But then we read here about the fruit of the Spirit. Now let's go back from here, and let's go back to Ephesians. So the glitter draws upon these powers to give purpose to the imagination. But now we go back to Ephesians here. So now we know what the fiery darts of the wicked are. See, the fiery darts of the wicked, which has to do with the earthly things, the glitter. In order to obtain the usage of the glitter, okay, these other spirits enter in. These are the spirits that make desolate the soul. Okay, so now we're taking the helmet of salvation. Okay, taking the helmet of salvation, all he's talking about right here is that, okay, through the study of this knowledge, okay, which has to do with the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, by this knowledge, which is grace and truth, okay, you're able to fight against these offers. Okay, now Satan offered Eve, okay, certain things. Okay, by which her she did not reflect okay, upon the revelation given to Adam, she reflect upon earthly things, okay, of what she can achieve as a God. Now, Satan used the same approach there with Jesus. He says, if you'll fall down and worship before me, I'll give you all these things. What things? These kingdoms. Okay, the kingdoms which labor with these tokens. Okay, now, by the spirit which labors with these tokens, which Satan wanted Jesus to embrace, okay, would be his demon. Okay, the demons, these powers. The powers enter into these physical things for the purpose of establishing their own precedence, their own social position. We can see that with Pharaoh. Okay, we see serpents, okay, by two different powers. Now, when Jannes and Jambres laid down their rods, okay, in order to affront the stewardship of God, now we see the stewardship of God coming in contact, okay, or you say in confrontation, okay, with the false stewardship of Pharaoh. The false stewardship of Pharaoh had his false priesthood. The false priesthood, okay, laid down their rods in order to confront, okay, and to overcome, either to control, destroy, okay, or to dominate, okay, the rods of Aaron. The rod of Aaron. But Aaron's one rod dominated the two rods of the false religious system. Okay, because in the rod of Aaron was the anointing. And the rod of the false religious system were seducing spirits. The seducing spirits, okay, could not overcome, okay, the rod of the true stewardship. Could not overcome that. We see the same thing today, okay, that the rod of the true stewardship, okay, we're coming against, okay, the enemy of the false religious system, okay, which is twice as strong and twice as big. It's bigger. It's a big power. Okay, and that's because of that which God has assigned at this time, okay, for the option and for the testing of the hearts. That's why the Lord is doing that. Okay, but David slew Goliath by a small stone, okay, which he took out of the brook. Okay, and we also, by the stone of Christ, okay, also are bringing down these philosophical giants, okay, of the false religious system. Okay, which, of course, the Philistines gathered around their champion. Okay, just like we can see how the armies of Og and Sihon, okay, would gather around, okay, the oath of their kings, okay, as Pharaoh's army gathered around his oath, okay, for the purpose of identification. Okay, so they gathered around their king because their king made promises, the promises of promotion. Okay, the king made promises of promotion and self-preservation. The false religious system does the same thing, promotion and self-preservation. Against what? Okay, against the kingdom of God. Okay, yes, God makes promises, but Satan has counterfeited the promises of God, okay, with the promises of earthly things. Okay, but all things of this earth will be consumed by fire, for the Lord will create a new heavens and a new earth. For the first heavens and the first earth will be consumed by fire. Okay, and now being consumed by fire, God will replace it, okay, with that which is in perfect righteousness. This is what Chief Elder Peter brings out. Okay, God is going to make a new heavens and earth. Okay, wherein dwells righteousness. Okay, never again will there be a recall, okay, of those former things. Okay, because they have been completely circumcised. A dimension has completely been removed. Okay, and replaced. Okay, as one dimension of light. Okay, whereas where dwell the holy city, the womb of the righteous, okay, and the womb of the righteous and the chambers of kings and priests. Okay, whereas in these chambers, mansions, okay, we will continue to expand the kingdom of God to other dimensions, okay, and function as gods, okay, as was so promised us, without restriction and complete utilization of the imagination, okay, being joined to faith. Right now, our imagination is being subjected to truth. Okay, and faith only works with this, with a token of this knowledge, see, with truth. Okay, but when it comes to the baptism of light, our faith now, okay, will work with the imagination because we are the standard within that dimension. We are the truth of that dimension, as Jesus is the truth of this dimension. And that's why he said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the very standard and scale, Okay, and the life sustainer of this dimension. Okay, I am God manifest in the flesh. Okay, I'm setting a pattern for my children as heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. This tradition will be carried forth for those that humble themselves now. They die to the aspiration, okay, in order for them to be risen, okay, and in the power of my likeness. Okay, and this is what he's talking about. Take the helmet of salvation. Okay, our perception, okay, is now God's perception. Now we have the mind of Christ. In the Old Testament, we can see when the Lord testified in Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," saith the Lord. Well, what is the way of the Lord? Well, the way of the Lord is covenant. Why aren't your thoughts as his thoughts? Because his perception is by the anointing. Where is the anointing? If the anointing is absent, so is the perception. Okay? And you can't build in the God's kingdom by the perception of the flesh. His kingdom is built by the Spirit. Okay? That's where righteousness dwells. Now take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. This is the anointing, and your anointing is charity. The sword of the Spirit is your charity. You overcome by charity, which is the word of God, which has to do with this is, when he talks about the word of God, we're talking about this is the knowledge of his fullness. Okay, the knowledge of his fullness. This is his the entity. Okay, the superior entity. Praying always. See the word prayer there. I like the word prayer because we'll talk more about that just in a moment. You get your sacrifices ready. Praying always with all prayer. Okay, and of course we just had the IPA yesterday. Okay, Saturday. Okay, and of course that's just a particular day of the week or the month. Okay, whereas we put that aside, you know, whereas we can focus on more prayer, encouraging more prayer, increasing your prayer life, maybe by 15 minutes, maybe by 30 minutes. Okay, or you can say, you know, setting another goal, okay, concerning your prayer life. Because the more your soul within your prayer, the more you're going to grow concerning these gifts. Okay, God will reward your labor. For God is not unrighteous to forget. Unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name and towards all the saints. So praying always with all prayer and supplication. This is what I do, okay, and this is what you do. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now this is part of the communion cup, which all the apostles drank of at the Last Supper. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This is the gospel. Okay, this is the functionality of this covenant. Okay, the functionality of this covenant, which was drank of at the Last Supper, and the bread, which is broken and given to them, it shows this is the unity of the knowledge, okay, of this covenant. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, as I do for you. When there's times when as I'm praying in the Spirit, as I'm praying in tongues, and I'm making intercession. And bringing to God your name, I bring to God, okay, I bring before his presence your name. Okay, and not just once a day. Okay, I make it a habit of 2 to 3 times and 4 times a day, sometimes even 4 times a day, bringing your name before the throne of my Father. Okay, which is showing a divine tethering. And through this divine tethering, okay, that's perseverance. That's perseverance. Okay, our Father, by these things shows this is the communion of the Holy Ghost here. Okay, the cycle is being completed, okay, by the Spirit, by the anointing on you through the stewardship and your functioning as a priesthood. And your priesthood. Without the functioning of the priesthood, there's no perseverance. Okay, it's illusionary. Okay, it's documented in the scriptures, but it's absent in the functionality. Okay, of the false religious system. They read about the documentation of it, okay, but they're standing outside of its function. It's like reading about the building of the temple of the first covenant, the building of the temple. Okay, just because you read about it doesn't mean you're actually functioning in it. Okay? That's part of the illusion of the false religious system. They read about it, all right, and they want to make it a part of their life. But you can't wrestle the imagination, you can't mold the imagination and make it a reality. Okay, the imagination is elusive. It's nothing but a vapor. Okay, it's a vapor. It's there and it's gone. Okay, you can't possibly sustain that vapor. Same thing. When a cloud, you can't force a cloud to remain that in the form that it's in. You can't force it to do that. Okay. In the same thing, we can see how the the clouds themselves, okay, surround the throne of the Lord. Okay. The throne of the Lord is surrounded by cloud of vapors. Okay. These are spirits. Okay. Cloud of vapor. Okay. And also of hail. Okay. And storm wind. Okay, and firebrand. Okay, these are all different manifestations of all these different spirits. Okay, all right. Why? Okay, are they circling the throne? Because they take different form. Okay, they take different form, and each form that they take is greater than the form that which they previously were in. And that's the same thing with our soul. Our soul, we're tethered to the throne of God. Okay, our prayers continually encircle it. Okay, and by these things, our heart is enlarged. Okay, even as the vapor cloud. The vapor cloud continues to enlarge itself. It doesn't stay in its original form. Okay, but it's there. Okay, and it goes into another form. So, perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's jump from here to 2 Timothy chapter 2 now. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's start here. Now we're going to see some interesting things here. Okay. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hide the word Christ Jesus there. So when he talks about in Christ Jesus, he's identifying your priesthood. Now we can go to verse 1 there in chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Look what he says in chapter 1, verse 1. This is in 2 Timothy. Okay, in 2 Timothy. Okay. He says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. See the word Jesus Christ there. Okay, he's talking about that which was issued to him. Okay, by the will of God, this is the power of fire charity that bonds and purges us. It bonds and it builds and it purges us. According to the promise of life. That's the anointing that attends these things. Okay, in order to make these a reality. Okay, which is in Christ Jesus. How it's tied to where Christ Jesus here. That's the last thing he said there in verse 1. To Jesus Christ there in the first of the verse. He says Jesus Christ, and he says Christ Jesus, the very opposite. Because one is the receiving, the other one is giving. Okay? Now, the false religious system acknowledges Jesus Christ, okay, but they cannot function, okay, with the latter part, Christ Jesus. Okay? They function with the first part, but not with the latter part, okay, Christ Jesus. So therefore, okay, the activity of the false religious system, okay, is incomplete. Okay, but we are complete in Christ, okay, only utilizing and resourcing everything he's provided for us in the government, okay, which is building of his kingdom. Okay, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. So this is what he's talking about right here. The grace that is in Christ Jesus, this is our power of reciprocation. We're giving it back to God. Okay, it came to us as a seed, as a gift, seed gift, and it's returned to God, okay, as a full package. Okay, as a harvest. Okay, and this is a cycle. Okay, and it's through these cycles that the heart is enlarged. Now, as the heart is enlarged, your understanding also is being perfected. Okay, from little children, young men, and fathers. Okay, this is what Chief Elder John brings out. Okay, in 1 John chapter 2. He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Chief Elder John is establishing the fact, okay, that you have been removed from Satan's kingdom. Now you've been removed from Satan's kingdom, okay, why do you want a resource back in that kingdom? Why are you sticking your arms out the window to grab something? Okay, you keep your arms in the window. Okay, that's why you roll the windows up there when you're in travel. Okay, so you keep your hand in the car. Keep your arms in the car. Okay, so we keep our hands, okay, in the temple. Okay, so that's the first thing he talks about. Little children, these things are written to you that your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Okay, then he goes on to young men and he goes on to fathers. Because he's establishing, see, the progression of your growth and the enlarging of the heart through the perception. Your experience works this perception. You just can't read about it and create the reality of it. You must experience it, then you begin to see it. The things that you have heard among of me, the stewardship among many witnesses, okay, which he brings about the affairs of God's kingdom, the same commit you to faithful men, those which are consistent in building and bonding, which should be able to teach others also and to carry this tradition of grace. Okay, which we carry the tradition of grace, not the tradition of death. You therefore, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier. Okay, the enduring, which it has to do with your enduring this activity. Okay, you're enduring the activity. Your growth will always be met with confrontation. Okay, contradiction, contrariness. Remember the five C's we talked about. Okay, these five C's, okay, which continually like to, they manifest themselves through the people, okay, which Satan elects to confront you. Okay, Satan has his ministers, just like God has his ministers. Satan's ministers, that is whosoever he selects to use at the time, okay, in order to reproach you, okay, will reproach you as concerning not meeting the standard of their secular scale. The world uses a secular scale to measure your value. Okay, and you'll see that. You'll see it in the workplace. Okay, you see it in manifested, okay, even among family and among family and of course so-called friends. You'll see it will manifest itself. Okay. So you therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. We just read about that, this armor, okay, which is enduring this this contrariness, the good soldier of Jesus Christ, because you're facing the adverse contradictions and conditions. Okay, is the uncertainty that brings that frustration and doubt. Okay, where is this going? That's uncertainty. Now the grace of God sustains us through any uncertainty. Okay, as the pillar of the cloud and the pillar of fire, okay, sustain the certainty of the children of Israel and his steward Moses. Okay, it sustained that, okay, because it was giving direction and continually giving, and see, the presence of this was a gift. And the presence of the Holy Ghost, that anointing upon you, is a gift. Okay, as a pillar of fire by night and as a pillar of cloud by day. Okay, 24 hours, 24/7. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. See the word affairs there. Now we just read that in Revelation, didn't we? Chapter 18. The affairs of this life have to do, okay, with the things that the world utilizes, okay, for the scale of their own moral code. Okay, they utilize the physical things of the world for their equity. Now seducing spirits work with that perception, but in order to protect that, okay. The voice of envy, the voice of strife, the voice of variance, the voice of emulation. Okay, these are the powers that work with the aspiration, which works with physical things, which works with the dimension of this world. All right, but here, no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that may please him has chosen to be a soldier. Okay, God called you to single-mindedness. Okay, and we march in harmony with him. Okay, according to his orders, we march in harmony with him. Okay, if any man also strive for masteries, okay, that is to be best qualified, yet he's not crowned except he strive lawfully, that means by the rules. Okay, we have rules which we're laboring with. That's the rules of faith. Okay, the husbandman, as the farmer, that plows and labors in the field, he has to first plant before he can reap the harvest. Okay, so we see a due process, don't we? From littleness to greatness, to labor to rest. Littleness to greatness, to labor to rest. Okay, we labor to enter into that rest. Okay, so the husband that labors must first be partaker of the fruits. Okay, that means first the seed, then the harvest. The propitiation of his gifts by his record. Jesus provided himself as that eternal seed. Okay, and that eternal seed is the record of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, by which, okay, it is nurtured by the witness from above. That's why Jesus says, my Father is greater than I, but I and my Father are one. Okay, I and my Father are one, which has to do with we are one product. Okay, but that product, okay, is manifested first by the seed, which I'm giving to you. Consider what I say, that's the seed, and the Lord give you understanding. The anointing will work with this knowledge. Okay, the anointing will work with this knowledge, and it will unfold more to your understanding. And understanding in all things. Okay, remember, he says. I want you to reflect upon this pattern which is hidden. This is a great mystery. Remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David. See the word seed there. He's going back to the source. Okay, it was what? Raised from the dead according to my gospel. That which was a seed is now harvest. Raised from the dead. It's been harvested according to my gospel. This is the pattern which Paul preached. This is the pattern which Chief Elder Peter preached. This is the pattern which we preach. And he says, and in this pattern I suffer trouble. This is the contradiction, okay, of the glitter people. I suffer trouble, okay, which has to do with the choices of, and perception. Where did I suffer trouble? As an evildoer. Okay, in other words, the false religious system views those which are in covenant, okay, as fugitives of their justice. Okay, they're viewing us as fugitives or criminals of their justice system. Their justice system, okay, is self-determination and denominationalism. Every denomination has their own standard, okay, of, you say, of fairness. Okay, and that, of course, that has, every denomination bears the variables of that false gospel. That means they select, they cut and paste, okay, verses out of the Bible, okay, in order to try to put together a collage of their own truth. And they call that collage truth. Well, that's the way that the false religious system works. It's a cut, it's a paste, okay, and they're building this, okay, this illusion. Wherefore I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Okay, the knowledge of God cannot be stopped nor restricted by their books. And we can see that's proof today. The proof of it still stands today. Okay, that the false religious system cannot drown out the truth, because God preserves truth for each generation. And this generation, the last generation, before the rapture, okay, truth is now being preserved. And as, of course, as the prophet talked about, Prophet Enoch, a sword should be given to that generation. And we, now, of course, and we're taking vengeance against all unrighteousness. Therefore, he says in verse 10, I endure hardness, I endure all things as a soldier, okay, because the steward is the gauge, the gauge is this pattern for your scale. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. I endure, that's the scale, all things for whom? The elect's sake. Okay, without the stewardship, there's no scale. Okay, but the false religious system produced a false scale. Okay, they produced a false scale, okay, through their selection of verses. But the scale is put within the stewardship, not in a text. Okay, it's put within a stewardship, not a text. We can see that throughout the book of Judges. God put the scale within a stewardship. Whatever the steward God raised up, that was a scale. Okay, when God raised up David, that was a scale. Okay, when God raised up Joshua, that was a scale. Which means it was a scale because the brethren labor with that perception. Okay, and that's how you can tell those which are in Christ. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in where? Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So how do you wear Christ Jesus again? Which means this is the priesthood of the second covenant, whereas the substance of God will be born within you, okay, as you measure, you engage your growth through the stewardship which he's assigned. Now we can see the same thing gave by Chief Elder John. Okay, when he talks about the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. You don't look to any other scale but to the stewardship. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, which means it continually reflects upon the knowledge that you have received through the stewardship. But the anointing which you receive him abides in you, and you not, need not that any man teach you. But the same anointing teaches you of all things, which now you're getting your sacrifices ready. And his truth, because it's built upon his foundation. And no lie, because it doesn't work with the aspiration. See, it doesn't work with the aspiration. It can't work with the aspiration. Okay, it only works upon the foundation of truth. Okay, and that's why truth and charity are bound together. We see that within the element, the scale of the elements. Okay, as concerning this reflection. Okay, concerning charity and truth. It says here, with eternal glory. Okay, this is the fruit that is born by the anointing, okay, through the knowledge which we have received.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Intersek here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.